We're privileged to have Jennifer Rockwood as our devotional speaker this morning. Sister Rockwood, a native of Lake Oswego, Oregon, was a four-sport athlete in high school, playing soccer, softball, basketball, and track. She graduated from Brigham Young University in 1989 with a degree in business from the Marriott School of Management. Coach Rockwood completed her 21st season in 2015 as head coach of BYU's women's soccer team. She has established herself as one of today's premier coaches of Division I soccer, having built up the program from an extramural sport into an elite NCAA competitor. Coach Rockwood has five Coach of the Year awards and was a finalist for the National Coach of the Year in 2012. This past season, the Cougars won their fourth consecutive West Coast Conference championship and earned a trip to the NCAA for the 17th time in 21 years. They have had winning seasons for 20 of those 21 years and have ranked in the NCAA top 25 15 times, including for the last 4 years. And now we'll be pleased to hear from Sister Jennifer Rockwood.
What an amazing opportunity to stand before you today. Never in a million years would I have ever thought that I'd be right here, right now. I must admit, the first thing I remember when I thought that I'd, when I was asked if I was going to speak, I'm like, are you really sure? I'm just a soccer coach. And then I thought, oh no, do you know how big those Marriott Center screens are? They are huge. Oh, I've got some pictures to show you so you can look at them a little bit during my talk. But it goes to show you that we never know what God has in store for us in the present or in the future. Life is a journey and we must always embrace it, even when we're asked to do something that we thought was absolutely unimaginable. My journey has truly been different than what I would have ever foreseen as I once sat in your seat over 30 years ago. But what a blessed life and what a ride it has been. I pray that I will be able to share a few thoughts and stories today that might inspire you to realize the significance and importance here on earth. I know that I will not necessarily tell you anything you haven't heard before, but I hope that I might remind you of what you've always known, but that can so easily be forgotten in our demanding lives. Does your life seem too busy at times? I know mine does. We live in a world where our lives are busier, noisier, more stressful than ever. A time where nothing stops or even slows down. More responsibilities, more pressure, more expectations, far more places to be, and way too much time on our smartphones. It just seems impossible to sometimes keep up with the pace. In order to slow down the madness of life, I love to retreat into nature. We're so blessed to live at the base of the majestic mountains, where we can look to the west and appreciate the view of the lake, to travel east and be enveloped in the canyons, drive south, and take in the magnificence and serenity of the beautiful red rock. I am always drawn to the light in the beauty of God's creation, where I can find a calmness, a comfort, a peace, and a deeper connection to my Heavenly Father and my Savior. Just as the sun, the moon, and the stars light the landscape of this beautiful world, the light from above provides us with direction and purpose. As I think about the light and how many different meanings it has, I reflect on an experience I had last June. For several years, I've had the opportunity to participate in a team race that takes one through some of the most beautiful scenery in the state. The event starts in Logan and winds through the Wasatch back and finishes in Park City. It's called Ragnar, and each van, there's two vans that consist of six people, and you're all packed in. Your team spends over 30 hours together, no food, no sleep, few rest stops. Each team member runs three different routes, and the whole group runs over 180 miles. What an adventure. Last year, I wasn't quite as prepared as I usually am after badly spraining my foot a few months before. But just so you know, I am the oldest on the team by far and the slowest. So keep that in mind. Everyone else is very fast. After I ran my first run of nearly 6 miles, I was okay. But it was really hard, and I actually went pretty slow. Soon our van was starting to get ready for our second leg of runs when my friend Greg mentioned, maybe you should run the shorter leg. It was half the length of what I was supposed to run. And at first I was thinking, oh, that's nice. He's concerned about my foot. But I soon realized that he just didn't want me to slow down the team. So due to peer pressure, I took the shorter run. However, it put me on a course that I was not familiar with. And it was one of the few runs that took place on a trail in the middle of nowhere at 2 a.m. in the morning. No lighted paths, signs, or obvious markers. I wore a headlamp and a blinking red reflector. My headlight was the only source of light through the 2.5 miles of switchback trails. As you can imagine, it was a bit concerning and challenging to stay on the path. I even had to stop a few times and shine my headlight around to fear, because I feared I was off the course. The entire run, I was scanning for any sign of a light, a marker, or even a blinking reflector from someone. Occasionally in the distance, I would see a small red light with an arrow, and I'd run in that direction. As I passed, I would scan again, trying to find another red light. Finally, towards the end of my run, I saw a few runners ahead and followed their light to the finish. Soon after, a couple runners came in behind me and thanked me for leading them to the end. Evidently, they had been following my light all the way in. Through this experience, as in life, the lighted path is not always easy to follow, but it is the only way to reach our desired destination. During the run, it was important to stay strong and positive and confident, even though I had continual doubts. I had to intently search for the light of others to help me find the way and point me in the right direction. And although at the time I wasn't even aware, I was actually a light for others. We have been sent here to this earth as part of a remarkable plan to prove ourselves, to learn, to grow, and to develop into our best selves, to build the kingdom of God and help our family and friends reach their highest potential. We know and we've been taught that the light leads us through this journey. We've all been blessed with the light of Christ, to know right from wrong, good from evil, and a knowledge of our Heavenly Father and our Savior's love. President Harold B. Lee has stated, quote, "Every soul who walks the earth, wherever he lives, in whatever nation he may have been born, no matter whether he be in riches or in poverty, had at birth an endowment of what the first light, of that first light which is called the light of Christ. That is the universal light of intelligence with which every soul is blessed." Close quote. As surely there is light, there is darkness. And as surely there is God, there is Satan. If we don't continually search for the light and stay on the path, we can just as easily be led into darkness and off the course. We all know that we live in a world where there is increasing darkness, where the lines are blurred, and the separation between light and dark is getting larger. Our society is trending away from the spiritual and becoming more secular than ever. It is even becoming apparent that those who choose to follow the light are often mocked, ridiculed, and even looked down upon. We must always stay on the lighted path and search for those things that we know to be true. As it says in the 13th article of faith, if there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report, or praiseworthy, we seek after these things. President Wilford Woodruff once said, quote, "We have no time to be drawn away from the things of the kingdom of God. While enjoying the Spirit of the Lord, we want the light all the time. Without the light, no man can see. While I walk in the light of God, my mind is open, and I can comprehend it and understand the sign of the times and the workings of the Spirit of God. And when a thing is presented to me by the servants of God, I can receive a testimony of the truth of that. But when I lose the light, I don't comprehend these things. I'm liable to find fault with this, that, and the other. We want to walk in the light. We want the Spirit of the Lord to be with us in order for us to live our religion, fulfill our mission as sisters and elders in Israel, and do the will of God, to fulfill this great high calling and build up this kingdom. We can't do it unless we walk in the light of the Lord." Close quote. Clinging to the light is a choice, and often those choices are challenging. We've heard it. We've heard the saying, I never said it would be easy, but it will be worth it. We all have challenges that we face, and Satan loves to pry on us, especially during those difficult times. He wants us to feel as if there are different paths. He wants us to give up, and he places opportunities for missteps along our way. I believe that one of the greatest tools is providing situations in which we doubt ourselves, our unique spirit, and our mission here on earth. We let those negative voices speak loudly in our heads. Words like, I'm not good enough, smart enough, I'm not pretty enough, or skinny enough. I'm not worthy enough, or strong enough, and life is just too hard. Yes, life is hard. And we are all challenged at times. And we are challenged more than at, even at other times. We get scared of failure. We fear the unknown, and we are burdened with losses, sickness, and pain. All of these emotions can leave us vulnerable, questioning, and sometimes searching for easy fixes. It often leads us to complain, to blame, and talk badly of others, to make excuses. And the light gets smaller and smaller and smaller. We are in a battle between light and darkness each and every day. We have more forces working against us, and Satan will always give us his best shot. Sometimes the more progress you make towards the light, the more temptations may come. Of members of the church trying to build the kingdom, you can be assured that we are prime targets. However, no matter what is thrown at us, or whatever temptations and obstacles and darkness come our way, we have a choice. Which voices do we let in? Which voices can drown out the darkness and fill our minds and our souls with light? We must intentionally use voices saying, I am strong, I can do this, I'm a fighter, and I choose to walk in the light. One of my favorite songs is entitled, I Will. It is written and performed by Hilary Weeks. To me, it emphasizes the importance of making a personal commitment to stay strong in our faith. I wish she that was here to sing it, as she has sung it to our team in the past. But the lyrics include, quote, I made my choice, you can mark this day, the day I pledge to take his name. I will be strong, I will be brave, standing for him as I take my place. I will stand, I will not fall. In a world that's weak, I will be strong. I will be true, I will choose his way. I know what's right, and I will not change. In a world where many may not, I will. Close quote. There are so many times throughout our lives that we have experienced that shake our commitments and cause us to doubt our abilities. As a coach, I'm in a position where difficult decisions have to be made that can significantly have an impact on young people's lives. Whether it is who to recruit or decisions made on playing time, often those decisions cause issues with parents, players, and families, who, needless to say, are not so happy with me. Many years ago, I was in the middle of some very challenging situations that caused me much doubt, not only in my own abilities, but made me question my own path. Fortunately, I was blessed with the tender mercy of a friend who must have been inspired to send me a poem attributed to Mother Teresa. It reminded me that we always have the ability to make positive choices and see the light, even in the midst of darkness. This poem has had a profound impact on my life, and I refer to it often. I love to share it at every opportunity I can. The poem is entitled, Do It Anyway. People are often unreasonable, illogical, self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good that you do today, people will often forget tomorrow, but do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough, but give the world the best you've got anyway. Because you see, in the final analysis, It is between you and your God. It was never between you and them anyway. God has sent each of us here with a plan, a purpose, a specific life to live. He also sent us here with all the tools that we need to find success, happiness, and peace. But we must choose to surround ourselves with light. We must search out the scriptures, the words of our prophets and leaders, and seek after the truth. We must be disciplined and dedicated and look for opportunities to learn and grow. We must be willing to do all the little things in order to reap the bigger rewards. When I was younger, one of my first coaching jobs was for a high school boys' soccer team. What an amazing experience. Can you imagine? 25 years ago, a young girl just graduated from college and coaching a boys' high school soccer team. I loved it. I loved those guys, and we had a great time. Back then, we had to do everything on our own, and some of our competitions were even hours away. I used to drive them around in a 15-passenger van, just me and 14 high school boys. Just a few weeks ago, I heard from a former player from those days who wrote me an email telling me an experience that he remembered and a lesson that he learned that has helped him over the years. He referenced a situation when I let the guys just do what they wanted at practice for a few minutes, and they chose to just stand around in front of the goal taking shots. I guess he remembers me saying, "What makes you think you'll ever get those shots off in a game if you can't even pass, trap, or control the ball?" Although I don't remember those specific words, he did. And not only did he apply them to soccer, but he has applied them to his life. He understands and he reminded me that we can't expect to have chances to succeed at the game-changing visible things unless we are working to master the little things. And that the big things are ultimately dependent on how hard we are willing to work. To me, this is a great example of one who is able to apply the simple concept to his life and continues to share those with who he teaches. He searched for a deeper meaning in his experience and learned from some of life's simple truths. This is one way that you can search for light. Another way is to surround yourselves with individuals who can inspire you and lift you to great places. We must choose our friends and those we associate with very carefully. We must ask ourselves, are these individuals helping move us towards the light? Or are they allowing us to let some darkness slip in? Are they motivating and inspiring us, or are they bringing us down? Do they help us see what is great about the world, or do they cast a shadow of negativity? Again, we mostly have a choice of who we spend our time with. A big part of my job and our staff's job is recruiting players to BYU. Truly one of the hardest and most time-consuming aspects of our job, but also one of the most rewarding, because we have the opportunity to recruit some of the finest young women who are playing at the highest level in their sport. We know that bringing in players will not only be spending a large amount of time with us, but they will be a significant part of the lives of their teammates for the course of their college career. They will spend countless hours together at practices, in the weight room, on the road, almost every weekend during the season and throughout the summer. Each new season of recruits will be a major influence on the lives of each of us, and we must choose wisely. When you seek after the light surrounding yourselves with positive and great individuals, you will provide yourself with more opportunities to learn and to grow. I have been blessed to work with so many inspiring young athletes, and they continue to teach me so much. But one player truly stands out. Many years ago, we recruited a young lady who had a very special talent and gift for the game. She was raised a long ways from Provo, Utah, and had never really been around many LDS players. She was also someone that was so good, she'd never really had been held accountable for some of the standards on our team, such as fitness tests, work rate, being on time, even things like what to wear to a soccer clinic or a service project. She was her own person, she had her own ideas, and she marched to her own drum. And that's fine. But at the same time, it was holding her back from reaching her highest potential. We did not see eye to eye on many things early on. And it actually came to a point where I had to make the decision to ask her to leave the team. She was good enough to play at other universities, and I told her I would help her find a place. However, I also mentioned that if this is where she really wanted to be and was willing to embrace her opportunity here and make some changes, that she would have the opportunity to join us again the following semester. After a short time, she told me that she really wanted to come back and learn from all of those around her. It was not an easy journey for her, and there were many times where she knew it would be easier somewhere else. But through the struggle, the fight, and the dedication, and the great choices, she was able to develop, mature, and grow. She made the decision, but by staying and surrounding herself with great friends, teammates, professors, ward members, and the environment here at BYU, that ultimately it would lead to an opportunity to change her life and her future. One of the most rewarding and proud moments of my coaching career was to give Genevieve Phillips a big hug on the field after her last game and congratulate her on what an amazing journey she had. Her senior year, she helped lead our team to a number 14 ranking before being knocked out of the tournament by the University of Portland, the defending national champions at that time. What an unbelievable blessing and inspiration Genevieve was to me, my staff, her teammates, and all those who knew her. She went on to graduate from BYU, serve a mission, and bless the lives of all those she came in contact with. She lived her life to the fullest and fulfilled her mission here on this earth and was taken home after a car accident in 2012 to return to her Heavenly Father. Not only do we have choices about whom we surround ourselves with, but we are blessed to have a God that intentionally places certain individuals in our past to provide opportunities, to open doors. He wants so badly to help us reach our potential if we will only let Him. I would like each of you to think about some of the individuals who have helped you get to where you are today. Some have had big roles, some small, and some have made all the difference. It's important to remember that at no time do we accomplish things on our own. I remember Ken Marshall, a high school soccer coach, who taught me to push myself, work harder, and achieve more than I thought was possible, who challenged me in every way to get better and always expect success, who hired me as a 16-year-old to help work his youth soccer camps throughout the summer. That gave me the opportunity and the knowledge that I needed to direct the camps here now at BYU with over 2,500 kids that attend each year. I remember a brilliant lady, Nancy Houston, the head of the Waterford School, who hired me to begin teaching middle school and coaching high school my senior year at BYU. No teaching credentials, no education classes, as I was a finance major, and no real experience. However, she believed in me, and she believed that I had a future in education and coaching. This opportunity eventually opened doors for me to set a new career path. I remember the legendary coaches and administrators of BYU Women's Athletic Department, including great women like Lou Wallace, Elaine Michaelis, and Ann Valentine, who in 1995 took a chance on a young coach who had no real NCAA coaching experience, recruiting, or managerial experience, but had a dream and a vision of what BYU soccer could someday be. So many amazing people have crossed my path over the years, as I'm sure they have crossed yours. With so much that has been provided for us by a loving Heavenly Father, much is expected. What a blessing for all of us to be at this great institution. As part of my job, I have an opportunity every week to tell young people, their coaches and their parents, what an amazing place this is. A university where one can reach their highest potential, athletically, academically, socially, and spiritually. Where everyone understands that we're not perfect, but we're committed to being our best. I'm sure that we've all worked extremely hard and sacrificed much to be a part of this BYU community. I'm sure that we're all qualified and have numerous opportunities to be elsewhere. But we've chosen to be here at Brigham Young University and stand for something more than ourselves. Several years ago, President Hinckley said at a BYU devotional, "You came because you wanted the BYU experience. Although perhaps you could not define it, having gained it, never lose it. Cultivate it in your lives and hold its very essence until you grow old and gray. Even then, you can sit on the wall on a warm summer day and think of the things that you are still learning in light of this great experience you had, close quote. Are we making the most of our opportunities here at BYU? Are we doing everything that we can to build the kingdom of God? And are we being a light to others? Years ago, President Faust gave a talk entitled The Light in Their Eyes. He recalled a historic meeting in Jerusalem about the new lease for land on which the BYU Jerusalem Center was later built. President Benson and Elder Holland agreed with the Israeli government that the university would not proselyte in Israel. After signing the lease, one of their friends remarked, "Oh, we know that you're not going to proselyte, but what are you going to do about the light in their eyes?" He was referring to the BYU students who were studying in Israel. Do you have that light in your eyes? Would someone who doesn't know you know that you have the light within you? In Matthew 5, Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount, and he states in verse 14 and 16, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before man that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." President Monson has also said, quote, "The opportunities to shine are limitless. They surround us each day in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. As we follow the example of the Savior, our opportunities to be a light, we can, in the lives of those around us, whether they be our own family members, our coworkers, mere acquaintances, or total strangers," close quote. On our team, we often talk about the importance of representing ourselves at the highest level, that wearing Brigham Young on your jersey means more than just another college team. We are aware that people are watching us, and you never know what lives can be touched, what doors can be opened, and what inspirations can be provided. Although we're not perfect, we try to represent the best we can. We want to play at the highest level, to win championships, to be nationally relevant so people know who we are and what we represent. As President Monson has stated, to be a light even to total strangers. A few months ago, I received a package from one of the state prisons here in Utah. I thought it unusual, but I opened the package and inside was a beautiful hand-knitted blanket with a full BYU Cougar logo in the middle. There was a handwritten note on top, and part of it read, "I am an inmate at the Utah State Prison. I'm 54 years old, and in all my life, I've never been interested in watching sports on TV. That was until 2009 when I was running channels and came across a BYU women's soccer game, just as someone did a flip throw. I stopped to see what was going on, and I was hooked. To this day, the only sport I truly watch is BYU women's soccer. There's something about the way they play. It's hard to describe. They play with heart, for the love of the game, and just for the enjoyment. It's something that cannot be put into words. I will never get to see a game in person. So please accept this blanket as a token of my appreciation. It is for the entire team." That was such a kind gift and a note that touched our team. And it reminded us that we are capable of reaching individuals that we would have never thought. Our reach goes so far, whether it's in sports or music or dance or science or education or whatever we're involved with here at BYU, we can make a difference. Each of our players work as camp coaches for young players who love the sport and often have dreams of attending and playing soccer someday at BYU. Most of our players have attended these camps when they were younger, so they know how exciting it is when young campers come to play and hang out with them for a week. In fact, several girls on the current team I first met at camp when they were only 10 and 11 years old. One summer several years ago, we had a young girl who was shy, but also uncooperative and didn't participate in the drills or the games with her group. A couple of my players who were coaching her weren't sure what to do. I mentioned that maybe they should just spend a little more time with her, get to know her, sit with her at lunch or dinner, just told them that maybe she just needed a little extra love, a little extra attention. The girls did an amazing job, and towards the end of the week, she was much more engaged in the training and seemed to be having a lot of fun with her team. After a week or so, I received a thank you note from her mom, explaining that this young girl did not want to come to camp. Her mom basically made her attend. Obviously, this is one of the reasons why she got off to such a rough start. Her mom went on to explain that her daughter loved soccer, but she was from an area where there weren't many members playing, and that she was slowly fading away from any interest in attending her young women's group, seminary, or even church on Sunday. It was becoming a battle for her parents to keep moving in the right direction. They thought maybe it would be good for her to be around some other members of the church who also loved soccer. Her mom was quick to point out that that experience at camp had been life-changing. Her daughter had found some new motivation, some inspiration and direction. She wanted to be like the other campers and the players on the team and someday maybe go to BYU. She continued to attend camp for several summers after, and although she was never quite at the level to play college soccer, she was inspired at a young age to make good choices during her high school experience and ended up attending BYU. You never know what light you might spark in others just through your kindness and your example. It's so important that we find ways that we can inspire others. It's our responsibility. We're to use our gifts and our talents to share the light and bring the light to others. It's what we've been taught and counseled to do. Our prophet has just recently challenged us to be an example and a light to the world. President Monson has stated, quote, "As we follow the example of the Savior and live as he lived and taught, that light will burn within us and will light the way for others. We become examples and believers by living the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, and in purity." Close quote. Are you lighting the ways for others? Are you an example of the Savior in your words and thoughts and actions? These are questions that we must ask ourselves on a daily basis. In order for us to hold up our light, we must believe and remember who we are, where we came from, and what we were sent here to do. I have an opportunity several times throughout the year, whether at practice, before a game, or at halftime, and try to motivate, inspire, and remind the girls of what they're capable of and how amazing they are. I have often thought about what simple and direct words of encouragement might come from our Heavenly Father to remind us how capable and amazing we are. As most of you know, and what I have come to learn over the years, is that your mother and father are always your biggest fans. I know that our Heavenly Father and our Savior are our biggest fans. They want nothing more than to help us find happiness, peace, and return home to them someday. Here are some words of wisdom that I believe they would want us to know, to repeat to ourselves, and always remember. You are a beautiful child of God made in His perfect image. You are loved, appreciated, and valued more than you will ever know. You are unique and capable of more success than you can ever imagine. Dream big dreams and find your passion. It is never too late. Never let fear hold you back. Do the hard things, like speak at devotionals. Always give everything your best effort. Be kind to yourself so you can be kind to others. Love yourself so you can love others. Follow the light, seek after the light, and always be a light. Brothers and sisters, I know that this life is challenging, but we can and we must stay on the lighted path that is always provided for us. We must always seek for the light and light the way for others, today more than ever. I leave you with my testimony that I know we have a loving Heavenly Father who knows us by our name, our thoughts, and by our heart. He loves us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who made it possible for us to live together again as one eternal family. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.